All right, we're talking about Valver. Presidar.
Bree. Jane.
George.
Mary.
Lenore.
Nancy.
Richard.
Steve.
Brenda.
Mark.
We miss you, Rudy. We miss you, Tammy.
Ball's here.
Ralph, anybody else?
And Ralph, and anybody else?
Ellen?
Ellen, where are you?
Ellen might be traveling. She's kind of...
So Volbear, some of us just saw it today. Thank you. I caught it.
What time?
Four. Remember when you throw it today?
Yeah.
Were you there?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember. Oh. It's funny. I was at a 4 o'clock show. Little children. Mm-hmm. So a lot of us see the movies right before that.
Won't be able to do it next time. Remember.
It's fun to do that. Yeah. So let's see. Hello. we did start to talk about it at dinner, and as much as to say that I agree with this opinion, and I think it was George who said it first, I'll quote or concur, that Penelope Cruz, we're happy to see her speaking Spanish, acting in Spanish, and she is a knockout, no question about it. She's attractive. Physically attractive, and they do a good job on Cosmic. But here's the question that I want to hear everybody answer, and that is, at what point did you understand that the mother was not a ghost?
Well, it's supposed to be a little ambivalent.
Did you ever get it that she was? Did you believe that there was a ghost?
Yes.
Was her mother?
Yes, at first, yes. That was what was so great about the film. Brenda and I saw it Friday. And that this film just carried me along. And it was all believable. It was just the idea of the culture and the beliefs in the village, and that, yeah, this mother could very well be a ghost. At first I wondered if the daughter was just hallucinating her because she was living alone and really needed that. But at any point, I just accepted. And then when the explanation comes out, which I thought was kind of brilliant because I didn't see it coming at all.
When did you get the explanation? Just at the end?
Well, when it's actually explained. When she actually
hiding under the bed.
I forget which, is she explaining it to who, but the daughters, and she's telling them, I didn't. I got out of the house, or I wasn't in the house. Mm-hmm.
I think it's explained there at the end when she's saying that she found out that the reason why her daughter didn't speak to her was that her husband raped her daughter. And right after that happened, she found out by talking to the aunt. The aunt knew. And right after that was when she set her husband and his lover on fire, which is why you know, she was assumed it was her body.
Augustina couldn't find her mother.
Right.
Well, does anybody remember a film called, and I'm going to forget, it was with William Hurt and Kathleen Turner called Body Double? Same trick. I mean, where somebody substitutes another body so that people think they die, and that somehow occurred to me somewhere along the in the movie, and that's why I figured it out before the explanation came. I mean, I don't know which came first, and I really liked this movie very much. I felt it was emotionally very gripping, at least to me, and beautifully done. And of course Penelope Cruz is like otherworldly attractive.
Which world is that?
Oh, I don't know. Some world of beautiful people.
And yet she's believable.
Yeah.
That's why. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. Women like walking around most villages, I'm sorry. And then there's even a line in the film where when they're setting up the restaurant, and he said, well, between my cooking and your cooking, we're going to make a big surprise.
They didn't hide the fact.
No, not at all. But it's okay. I bought into it anyway, and I just found it very. The whole one, you know, the title means the return.
Return.
What's happening. Not only is somebody returning from the dead, but you know, what goes around comes around, and the whole theme of being raised by your father or father figures returning, and the working out of that.
The killing. The
killing because of it, Steve was waiting.
I want to see him do Volver 2 and have Penelope Cruz explain to her daughter that she's really her sister.
Right.
She's both.
Chinatown.
Yeah.
Yes, she's my daughter.
Yes, she's my daughter.
Which she could probably pull off doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Marcus.
Oh.
Marcus.
Motion. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I didn't take Penelope Cruz seriously as an actress until I saw this movie. Mm-hmm. I thought
see, anything where she speaks Spanish.
That's the difference with her.
I really like this movie because I felt it really captures a strong bond between women and the healing, the way that women can in families can heal each other. And I'm just curious to know, and Bree and I were wondering if men enjoyed this film as much as women.
I think that's a good question.
Well, also talk about how all the women enjoyed it as much.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I like what we've been saying here, that you didn't really know. You could accept the fact that she could be a ghost, and the story would work all the way through.
Yes.
And it's played as though she is, especially in the far scene where she's hiding under the, we've kind of seen that in other films where the ghost is like hiding from other people and only revealing himself or herself to a certain person. But I also like the other things, like the mother is taking care of her aunt, and then in the end she's taking care of the daughter of the woman who she burned. And it just tied things up in a real nice kind of, I don't know what kind of bow I would call it, but it's just really nice, warm feeling. Even though it's kind of disturbing that she didn't light the house on fire and kill two people.
I forgot about that.
It's so nice to be taking care of the daughter.
Well, compared to other Almodovar, this one's very tame in terms of weirdness. This is the least weird film he's ever
done. Passion.
So, and of course, you'd have to reach out.
Talk to her.
It's totally weird.
Yeah, you have that weird.
But this is by far his, you know, and I sense that the audience wanted it weirder. Anyway, did anybody else feel that, or maybe you? Okay, we'll get to I saw it sneak preview the night before it opened, and so it was a really gung-ho crowd, you know, where people line up an hour ahead of time. I felt like the audience was a little let down. It wasn't. There were no transvestites. Right? This is the first time.
There was the hooker, though.
The hooker was right out of Romania, too. So I loved it because it had references to Psycho and Fellini, and it seemed very Psycho. They buried the wrong body too, the mother. And cleaning up the blood was just like
a
thing.
Oh, that scene with the paper towel was just
so stunning. Wasn't that stunning?
Yeah. I could have, and they lingered on it a bit. I could have kept watching that.
Yeah, that was very Hitchcock. So, you know, he loves all the right filmmakers, in my opinion. And he loves women.
I think he's our greatest director of women.
I agree with you. I think it's a slight film.
Raise your hand.
It wasn't as meaty as this other thing.
Yeah, it was not as meaty.
Yeah.
It was more subtle.
I enjoyed it, and Pedro Almodovar actually padded her bottom to make her look a little bit earthier.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
you
made her boots bigger, too.
I don't know about that. I
didn't push
that
up the brow, you mean, or something? I didn't think she needed any help.
No,
I didn't
think she needed any help. That is
her. Another Almodovar film, one of his earlier ones, called What Have I Done to Deserve This?
Yes.
Where the woman killed her husband. And, I think she did hide the body. No, she hid the murder weapon. Yeah. I won't give it away.
Well, it had an homage to that, too, because the aunt who died in the beginning was in that film. She was in all his early films.
Yeah.
The roller skating down and everything.
Right, yeah.
Was after Jane. Aunt Paula. Yeah, Aunt Paula is a very well-known Almodovar actress.
Yeah, she was in Woman on a Nervous Breakdown.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I was kind of getting feel from the audience. It wasn't crowded when we went. There was a good number of people.
Boy, it was well populated today, I thought.
Yeah.
There were plenty of empty seats.
Yes, that's true.
But I don't know if this is the right thing to say, but it's kind of like what they call a chick flick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like a woman's movie. And I kind of felt the man sitting next to me was a little bored or...
Steve?
Oh. Let me add this up.
Was it my snoring, George?
So I can understand why you would wonder what men think of this picture.
Here's a man who wants
to. Yeah, yeah.
And then I'll go next.
So I actually can talk about that a little bit since I am a man. And also because.
And if I can say a straight man.
And also because I did fall asleep during the film.
And I didn't
win.
Nothing.
Were you sitting on the other side of the door?
I fell asleep during the film, not necessarily because of the film, but because I was still fighting jet lag. I just come back from the UK, and so I nodded off a few times. But still, I was able to follow most of it, and I think I. But I'm somewhat hesitant to comment too much about the film because I did nod off a few times. But still,
go ahead.
But yeah, of course. But still, you know, when I think about it, I at the end of the movie, I was like, you know, is that all there is? I wanted more. Mm-hmm. And you know, after having seen Talk to Her, which I thought was wonderful, and Bad Education, which I thought was fabulous. Mm-hmm. You know, this was just like, and so I wonder, you know, and Claudia, who I was with, she just really loved the film, and we talked about, you know, well, maybe, you know, it was more kind of a woman kind of thing, and but it just didn't have the kind of impact or the meat that these other films had. So I was, now Lenore will comment about it.
Also not at all.
Okay.
I was tired, which is true, but I also think I was a little bored. But that I felt was a little tedious. And I think it was his least misogynistic film that I've seen, which I was pleased. Yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff that's misogynistic. This was the least misogynistic. And
she's the only person I've ever met
that's misogynistic. Ellen McFarlane. And all of us at one meeting that all said that he's
misogynistic. Sam.
So, where are my outs?
Abandon you.
You were asking for Ellen. But, yeah, I see what you mean. I mean, I felt like, I think we said that at the end of the film, Mary, and I was kind of like, well, so?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say I didn't enjoy it at all. I did. And I did appreciate some of the things people were talking about, but yeah, I think I wanted more something.
Mm-hmm. I admit to nodding off just toward the end. I woke up for the very last little resolution. Nelly Cruz says hello to her mother again while she's taking care of Augustina at the last illness, but there was something just before that where I don't think I was out for more than three minutes. But some of this explanation stuff, and as I asked Steve and George when we came out, what did I miss? And they told me, and I said, well, I knew that already. I mean, I got to the point in the film, I guess I realized she wasn't a ghost at the point where they hug. You know,
mm-hmm.
She gets out of the back of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Why, if she's a ghost, did she have to hide in the under
right.
in the boot?
Right.
Why is the hug so corporeal?
Well, and then the hug was totally corporeal, and I decided that was a question mark. It was
mm-hmm.
a fly in the right, like crack in the screen there. And then, of course, as she was posing as the Russian and shampooing everybody, I thought, what ghost has to do the shampooing on everybody and not just one person? I mean, all these ghost myths, you know,
mm-hmm.
don't let them do it universally. It's just like either on one or at a particular time or whatever. So I was aware that she was, and as they started telling the story about where's my mother, Augustina is desperate to know where my mother is. She disappeared the same day as your parents died. Where's my mother? So she obviously had in the back of her head more knowledge, and then she kept revealing it. So the fact that it was she, the mother, who set the fire was not a surprise to me.
Something you said. Oh, well, not the Russian.
The Russian was in the
corporeal. I love it. It could be Chinese.
The one.
More Russian than Chinese? Oh.
I liked a lot of the little bits, like the Russian woman and the puns they did off of that. But the one thing that was left unresolved was Augustina's desire to find out what happened to her mother, and the one person who knew was
Raimundo's mother.
Yeah,
Raimundo's mother.
Yeah, and you know, left it up in the air as to whether that would ever be resolved.
She
never asked the question.
Who doesn't?
The woman dying. Never asked. She finally gets the vision and she thinks she's seeing a ghost. And she's telling the Penelope Cruz character, if you see your mother, like everybody's seeing your mother, ask her what happened to my mother. And she finally sees her and she doesn't ask that question.
That's right. Yeah.
But that bothered me too until I decided or felt or something that the reason she doesn't ask is she's got her mother back in the form of this mother who's going to take care of her till she dies.
Mm-hmm. I don't think she knew that, did she?
What?
Augustina, did she know that Irina was going to...
Yeah, the last thing she says right is, I'm going to be here with you till the end or something like that.
Right,
and so she knows that... Yeah, it really bothered me at first. Like, why didn't she ask? Or, you know, that's the one she said is she's desperate to know and she doesn't even find out. But then it resolved itself that way for me.
But what do you think she might have resolved some of it when she did her TV show appearance? Maybe she worked some of it through in there that she felt she's coming to a point that she doesn't really need to know this anymore.
Or that she sort of knew the answer herself and didn't have to have it confirmed.
Yeah, either one.
Right.
Or that she just felt like she'd been so bad to go on the TV she didn't deserve to know anymore.
That too.
That was a great character. What was the point of going on that TV show? I kind of missed.
Yeah. Publicity.
Well,
to go to Houston.
Right.
Yeah.
She could get treatment in Houston.
They either solicited her or she went to them and said, I want to go to the U.S. and get the you have this suspicion about your mother's unfaithfulness with this other woman and with that man, you know, and against this other family. And so you have to talk about that on the television show. And she refused to open up and they withdrew their offer.
And there is a very famous cancer hospital in Houston.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's supposed to be world renowned, and so he didn't randomly pick Houston.
No.
Who was her sister?
Her sister was seen in the
back
TV.
We never heard her speak a word.
But she was like, she wasn't the interviewer. She was somebody else.
Oh.
This is your life.
No, this
it's like this is your life.
They
wanted to bring out.
Okay.
I was thinking she wanted to also, if her mother was out there and saw the TV show, her mother would get
right.
That's what I thought.
I thought that too.
Somehow find her through that.
Bounce fast didn't quite work then.
Well, there were some details that were with me. Like, she got admitted into the hospital and diagnosed, treated, and she was out. It seemed like that with all the medicine that she'd already bought in another city and ready to inject yourself or have someone inject yourself. So some of that was a little flaky. It's a movie. I know.
So you can't let that.
Continuity. And I don't know. I thought Penelope Cruz was a little too pretty. I mean, even after she killed her husband, there's not a hair out of place. Dry makeup spoon.
But she does have blood on her neck.
A women's problem.
But that's almost a bar guy. It's not about real realism. Yeah. It's never made a realistic film. These films are based much more on the Spanish soap operas and the melodrama.
Yeah.
He is the king of the melodrama. So in a soap opera, everything gets diagnosed and happens, and everything, and people are. In that episode, and the hair is not out of place when you kill somebody. So it's from
she
the.
Didn't kill him.
No, she didn't.
Well, no, okay.
But it's
Nora has the ball. I remember go over the top. Hello.
I remember what I was going to say earlier was I think one reason people are I guess I should speak for myself, but I was going to generalize it, that maybe we were very ready to believe this was a ghost, and that was okay, was because kind of prepared to have some magical realism, and partly because of the Spanish-speaking film, and that, you know, it's a lot of magical realism and Latin American film. So
it was with relief. In the movie Mildred Pierce, doesn't she take the rap for her daughter?
Yeah.
The daughter
Mildred Pierce is his number one passion. Even Mildred Pierce are his big things.
That crossed my mind.
Interesting.
Good call. Very good. I had forgotten that. Yeah, it's all about Mildred Pierce.
She was telling the daughter not to say anything. Mm-hmm. But then I was thinking, well, if they were found out, if the police came, wouldn't the daughter have a better chance of beating the rat than the mother?
Yes.
That's
the last publicity, though. Right. She didn't want to put her daughter through that. But I thought that too. The guy deserved to be killed.
Well, she probably felt a lot of guilt of how her daughter came into the world. So
right, when you find that out later, then
to protect her.
But it is. I think it's very Mildred Pierce.
Yeah.
And even when she opens a restaurant. He's completely devoted to.
And doesn't the husband go after the daughter in Mildred Pierce? That was a great movie, one of my favorites.
One of my favorites.
Anybody?
It's the great mother-daughter movie. I've raised my daughter. My daughter on it. She's been saying it since she
was 3. I have a question for Mark. You commented about the film, but were you happy with this film? Were you as happy with this film as you thought that you would be? I mean,
I liked it. I liked it. I thought it was warm, sweet, funny. It wasn't as rich or as weird as the other films I've seen, but I thought it was the most accessible, and I thought that was great too. But yet not Hollywood
accessible.
But and yet not selling out. I mean, there were things in there that were just a little bit too edgy, for Hollywood or mainstream. But still, I think it probably will get him a bigger, better audience that might see his other films. And I would recommend it to all.
Well, unless it gets pigeonholed as a chick flick.
Well, yeah, I think another reason.
No, it goes beyond that.
Another reason that I think I didn't respond well to it, besides the fact that I felt it, was that it's been getting all these incredible reviews, and so I expected this incredible, amazing film, and
it's subtle.
No, I didn't.
But you know, the word subtle was almost.
No, that's what I mean. That's why the audience felt disappointed, and I was saying to myself, "People, it's more subtle."
I don't understand that. I mean, I would never put the phrase "chick flick" to a film like this, and maybe American cliche thing, but you know, usually they're real superficial and that
is the
light
lion.
The light romance comedy. I don't know, I just got a lot out of it. I thought it was very, and I haven't seen his other films, so now I want to, from what all the discussion is, and I did some reading on the net. But I thought it was just really layered, and I thought it was really deep about the relationships of the women and the family of the
just the family in the village, the women friends, and that clearly, and I've read a little his whole love of women and how he was raised, and he has these beautiful stories about being raised by his mother and the river and the singing and the women in the village,
all women.
And it all just makes a lot of sense. And I did think, I liked a lot about the return of the story. Of, you know, all these women did have a lot of secrets, a lot of questions, and to me, it got resolved. I got the answers, and not in any kind of chicky flicky, light way.
Yeah, these were deep characters. These weren't like fluffy characters. These characters are always people. Yeah. They had a lot of stuff going on. The dialogue was just wonderful in this movie too. The writing was just amazing.
I think all the love resolved through romance, which might be one of the six other chicks.
Yeah. No, I think George meant it in a slightly. Oh. I'm picking up on that.
Maybe
I was saying
more of a woman.
A woman's. Which again, he's devoted to the women of the 1940s. So that's why we were curious how to infect the men. And what you left with, or if not, and maybe it would depend on your own relationships to family and the women in your families. It's a really interesting question to me, because a woman would relate, I think, very differently to this movie.
She doesn't like to read subtitles.
So what would have made this film more appealing to you, Richard?
What would have kept you?
She would have liked it.
Gosh, I don't know.
If they killed more people?
Yes.
I will say that one of the thoughts
that
flicked through my brain early on, right after the husband was killed, I was thinking, is this going to be Fried Green Tomatoes? And you know, he's right there in the freezer,
and they have a restaurant.
It could have been, but you know, they didn't play out.
I thought there'd be more with him in the cooler.
Right,
but he was going to pop it over.
Nothing ever came of that. I guess that was one of the kindest things about it, was how they just dragged him out of there and. Nobody noticed. They're dragging him down the street. I'm kind of like, yeah, right. Nobody noticed.
Well,
I thought it was interesting when the daughter and the mother go visit the grave. Mm-hmm. Next to the river.
Yes.
And they talk kind of like that this is his favorite place, you know. It's kind of interesting to talk about somebody that you think should have been killed anyway, you know. They kind of missed the guy or felt something for him, you know. Not what you'd expect to see in a film where, you know, that obviously has some messages that you would think there should be a strong message. This is wrong. This is right. This is wrong. Mm-hmm. This is right. But there isn't. Same thing with the mother who burns the lovers. Yeah, the lovers.
No remorse.
They were pretty matter of fact about all of it. Yeah.
Well, again, that's all about.
If it was American, the little girl would be in therapy.
Exactly. Well, there's no grieving at all.
Oh, I think there's a lifetime of grieving.
Was grieving in this film?
I could read you talking about by the river.
Yeah,
you wouldn't expect that river. Because characters, they're multi-layered. They're not just being. We're so used to, well, not this group, but you know, American films. We have these one-dimensional, superficial characters.
Which would be a good segue to the other film,
because I think there are some quite dimensional characters there too.
So that was the beauty of it: the characters and her, Penelope Cruz, all of them. That you see them completely. You see them in their totalness, not one way.
Yeah. And what I was going to say, but the non-judgmental, again, that's all his films. He doesn't judge. All About My Mother, which is my favorite of his films. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't judge
transgenders or transsexuals or nuns who get pregnant. Penelope Cruz is a nun who gets pregnant in that.
Or raping someone in a coma.
And raping, and falling in love with someone in a coma. I mean, he's a non-judgmental. That, I think, is Spanish. He's this, you know.
But I gave
her to Buñuel, folks. Buñuel Almodóvar.
Except,
raping, also is
raping your daughter is...
Yeah, I mean, think that's okay.
That's right. That's crossing the line in his book.
Right, the guy died.
They burned.
They burned. So. But I'm saying it's not all mental. Very American.
For eternity.
Anybody else? Or that
I'm
would be
taking justice into your hands.
That would be a segue to Little Children, I think.
Okay.
The one who didn't see it?
Wait.
Let's make sure we're really done with this one. Because then we do the pause.
Yeah, because they're separate files.
So, do we want to talk at all about the couple other thoughts that are here from you?
We do then.
Yeah, we do.
Are things about set decoration and costuming?
Because I thought always amazing.
It's like so various, so colorful, you know. And the Penelope Cruz outfits, I was trying to figure out how did those things get put together, and if she was working these, you know, holding life together just barely, and when he lost his job, they ran
together. That's what I thought. What a cottage woman.
How did she have that? They were cute.
I understand what you're saying.
Well, she, like when the film crew had their... there's a rap party.
Yeah.
She was wearing this stripy, you know, a candy striped top with a little blue thing underneath and then a funny color.
It was a totally mismatched
outfit. Well, mixed up outfit.
Yeah.
Very working class mixed match outfit. But looked real cute on her. And I mean, where did that come out of?
Yeah.
That's right.
Where did she work? Remember?
Well, she worked like at a hospital.
She had a couple jobs. It was in an the one we saw, she was like, cleaning and
she was doing
laundry and chores. Right, she was had a lot.
So it's not clear if it was all one institution or several different places.
Yeah, I get the feeling she had more than one job. But I forget what I was going to say. But again, the Almodóvar from the credits on is all
the credits.
I've been on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
Yeah,
all about my mother.
Rape scene.
What's that?
Cleaning the graves at the beginning.
Anything like that.
And her cleaning her grave.
Yeah.
Augustina cleaning her grave.
Oh, right.
Set design, art direction, always. And not just gorgeous for the sake of gorgeous, but ties in with all the themes. And again, if you watch the films again, because I show them in my classes a lot. So, you know, then you watch the credits after you've seen all about my mother three or four times, and it's get even better.
You can turn that down.
I just wanted to heat it up.
Turn it down.
The whole opening sequence with them cleaning the graves and then the conversation about Augustina cleaning her. Is that really true, Mom?
Yeah,
that's the custom here in this village. People have this whole relationship in their graves before they die. You know, and then the whole thing.
So I just came back from...
I'm holding.
Oh, you're holding me? Okay, in Prague.
Yeah,
I was in Mexico for Day of the Dead this year, and that's all about cleaning the grave.
Spend the night in the graveyard.
Yeah, people are smart, but they first clean the grave and then spend the night in the graveyard and bring food and blankets, and everybody sleeps over and visits grandma and grandpa, or go for a picnic the next day. And I said to my sister-in-law, you know, I'm so sorry I'm not getting to see your mom. She says, oh, yeah, I know my mom had to go visit my grandparents today. I said, visit your grandparents? Your grandparents are gone. She says, that's what I'm telling you. My mother and sister went to the graveyard. Oh, yes, of course, right? I had just been the night before and seen just, you know, the whole town out in the graveyard in four different little towns outside of Morelia. And, I mean, it's the end of the rainy season, so all the weeds would have grown up, so it's the perfect time to chop them all down, and then you might as well. So that cleaning the graves thing I thought was very interesting, because it's got a new world, Poland as well.
But again, it sets the tone for a different view of death and a different view of morality.
Going to graves.
It's why it's...
And it's not a sad occasion. It's not a scary or a sad
thing. Well, it's going to be careful.
Talking about a different point of view of death, the scene where she comes into the house for the
wake. And all the women gather around the shots.
All the kissing, yes.
But I was going to say that the one line that came out was talking about, I forgot who said, but I think she said it about, maybe Penelope Cruz said it about Augustine, between the wind in this town and the cancer, it's just making me crazy.
Yeah. Gotta love it.
Well, the comment they made about the insanity of the town, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so
funny. That's true. That's
the
dumb thing. More crazy. The Santa, don't you read Mysteries, the Santa Annas?
Yeah.
People literally go crazy.
It is because it's partly because it blows and all this stuff, but it's also the change in the ozone content.
Yeah, it's the hardest thing for wind is the hardest thing for us to.
That's a big thing in Chinese medicine.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Was that
Penelope
Cruz singing? Was that her?
Probably.
I think
no.
It's
not.
No.
No.
I read a review and I believe it did say it was her singing.
Yeah.
I read a review that said it wasn't.
So much for doing that.
Yeah, I just hope that you read on this stuff. You read reviews where they compared Penelope Cruz with Sophia Loren.
The costuming, you know, those pencil skirts and all the cleavage and sweaters, and even that updo tousled hair. Very much.
Just no more English films for her.
No.
I've never seen her in any.
Oh, she's been in these clothes. She went in with Tom Cruise.
She makes bad choices.
Oh, Vanilla Sky.
Yeah.
But she did the Spanish version of it.
That was
the remake of
Spanish. Oh, that's right. Open your eyes.
Something just also.
What are you going to say?
Oh, talking about Sophia Loren, well, she's my all-time favorite.
Yeah.
And even I can see the resemblance.
Something
I thought, if somebody's going to do the Sophia Loren story, she's done her own Sophia Loren story.
Yeah.
But she'd be a good choice for Penelope Cruz.
Yeah.
She's not as tall or as voluptuous.
Yeah.
She's not
voluptuous.
She doesn't quite have that.
Yeah.
But she does.
Sophia Loren.
Yeah. It's juicy.
Yeah, we can't translate it.
If we had it, we wouldn't be so obsessed with weight in this country.
Abundance.
But right, when there's a lot of food on the table, or a woman is wants to feel around.
Yeah, she's just
dipped
for me.
Yeah, you saw the resemblance.
Mm-hmm. So did y'all think that her performance, Penelope Cruz's performance, was? You know, I've read a number of references to the likelihood of her.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
She's been in almost all of his films.
Well, the whole ensemble of women won a prize at some
camps.
Was the whole ensemble?
She's amazing. Beautiful. So nobody hated it, but several people fell asleep. I explained why. I'm coming off of jet lag.
Yeah. Yeah. There was what did you say? Is it something like a little bit predictable or a little bit?
I stated that it would sort of veer over to magical realism. I thought we were going that direction, but it was unpredictable and that it pulled back and zoomed up there. And so then I was like, oh, okay, let me see what's going on, what's going to happen here. I didn't know about that. I didn't know she was a ghost until the very end, until they hit me over the head with it.
Mm-hmm. You didn't know she wasn't a ghost.
But Augustine believed she was a ghost there at the end, didn't she?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
As best as she was.
And I like the restaurant part. I thought that was an interesting side story where she would take over this restaurant, and her friend, who was obviously in love with her, she thought,
And you know, that whole film. The film, crew staying there. And that was all kind of fun and interesting. There's a lot of good storylines going on.
It was really good how, because you could believe the little girl would have killed him, because just the few scenes that he showed of the way that he was looking at her.
It was too much of a setup, hitting you over the head with the door, you knew it.
Still, it's amazing how little screen time it took to.
Well, it was also this. I mean, I was a little in your art. But he didn't actually rape her. He didn't get a chance. Well, he tried. We believe he tried. Because we believe Raoul. Right. That's right. Isn't that funny?
We all believe.
Yeah.
Actually, I think one of the strongest things in the whole film is when she comes home and the daughter's waiting for her at the bus stop.
Yeah. And she just dances. I mean, that acting was incredible. I mean, that girl. And she just didn't say anything and was like, what the hell is going on? You knew right away. She was in shock.
But I didn't know if she'd been raped or if she.
Mark has one and then I have one.
That scene, I didn't pick it up, but I wasn't looking for it. But obviously, the mother has been there before, you know. And I would like to see this film to see if there is. If I could read into that character, that she's been here before and she knows exactly what went on. So, you know, I missed that, but I didn't know the storyline, so I wasn't looking.
Right.
But I'm wondering if it was there anyway.
She's very close to her daughter.
Just that I was interested that the mother in that moment. Totally believed her, totally accepted what she had done, and there was because that's not necessarily, and I think that has to do with that she'd been there.
Yeah, right.
The mother who hadn't been might have been like, how could you do that? Or,
right.
What happened? Or, you know,
what did you do?
How could you have done such a thing? Or whatever. And she was just like totally with her.
Yeah,
it's true.
The only thing I want to say is I saw it quite a while ago, maybe what, 2 or 3 weeks, and I saw it with Mira, who couldn't be here tonight. And I ran into Mira Friday, and both of us couldn't remember anything about the film. As much as I liked it, and then I sort of made myself in the last couple of days, and then, of course, this brings it all back. But as much as I think it was really good and really subtle, it didn't stay with me. And I'm, you know, so I will see, because some of you just saw it today. And that isn't necessarily... You know, because Mira said she keeps telling people, hey, I saw a film with Mary, and she thinks it's the Queen. Yeah, 3 weeks before we saw it there. And that stayed with both of us. I mean, now, and again, as Mark, I think, and other people said, that's what I like about this group. This is refreshing it all for me, and I do want to see it again, because now to see all the circular stuff, you know, now that I know the story. But in a way, it didn't stay with me. Which is true of Bad Education also, didn't
stay. Really? But
we're all about my mother and Talk to Her, I think, are two of the masterpieces of the last 20 years.
So, but I will say, I was mentioning this also to George and Steve, Bad Education, I was trying to remember it, and I saw it on television, or I rented it recently, and when I saw it again, I realized that it's the interplay of the fictional account and the actual account that was causing me so much trouble, because they're so intertwined. Who plays the bad priest in real life, and who plays the bad priest in the story about the bad priest?
Yeah.
You know, who plays each one of those roles is played by two, maybe three people, and it was very confusing to me. So on seeing Bad Education again, that helped me realize why I was having so much trouble remembering the film, but the film was very powerful, and seeing it again was great.
Well, I think what you're saying about not staying with you, I think because it was not as bold a film as the other ones.
And I love the boldness.
Some of it's just like, boom, hits you right in the face. And this one was much more subtle, like you're saying.
I think also it may be that, there is this kind of satisfying complexity of the story, but there's nothing that you know, it's pretty steady through the whole thing. It's like there's this and there's this and there's this. And so there's no, I didn't have that feeling that you're not going to read them, or, well, here's the. Here's the climax, and here's this drama, and it was kind of
well,
steady.
Then I feel it might be a climax, like when they take the body in the freezer and bury it, and then they get away with it. So it's like, you're right, you kind of, I thought that would be, and they kind of build it up that way, and then just bury it.
Kind of wait for that plot or something.
Yeah. Not that I wanted them to, but yeah, plot-wise. Yeah, so that it is interesting. But I still, like I say, I'm going to keep saying I think it was subtle, and I look forward to seeing it again.
Well, I kind of agree with Richard. At the end, I thought, I wasn't expecting it to end there. I guess I wanted it to go on and maybe tell me a little bit more, or I don't know what. I just, but what you're saying, too, that it just was like on a one note, and even on the ending also, it just kind of phased out.
And partly because he is non-judgmental, I think. So, yeah, nobody's... But everything goes.
I think it did kind of have you, give you a feeling as you knew what was going to come next, that she was going to open the restaurant, and, you know, it was going to be a new life for her without her husband. With her new relationship with her mother, her mother was going to resolve some things by her own guilt by taking care of the daughter of the woman who she burned. Maybe, I don't know. But you know, there was some indication that, you know, of where it was going to go. So to have gone there, I think would have been a
too obvious.
And the thing about what Mary was saying about the burying the body, it kind of like dropped out of the picture for a while.
Yeah.
You know, sitting in the back of the restaurant, she's serving, and so it did kind of lose its
charge.
Yeah, because it was just sitting there for long. And, you know, it's in the freezer. It's not going to start smelling.
Don't,
you know,
don't go in there. She said, "Don't go in there."
So anyway, but it didn't. I agree with Illinois that it didn't have those ups, you know, those predictable Hollywood ups and downs. But I didn't lose me the whole time. I didn't fall asleep.
Thank you, Mark.
I think that's interesting too, in terms of like what we expect, you know, culturally, in terms of this particular shape. And I don't know if anybody's read. There's a book by Ursula Le Guin of literary criticism. It's called "And Woman Wove It in a Basket," or it's an essay.
Mm-hmm.
But she kind of talks about the shape of story, like in indigenous cultures and different cultures, and that, you know, we have a particular form that we're used to and comfortable with.
Rising
and I think this is a different. This may be, you know, him experimenting with a different form. It's not. It isn't that there's more circular.
Hence the title.
Well, the reviews that I was reading from the film said that this would make him give him a wider audience.
I doubt if he did that on purpose.
Sounding like from all you're talking about, all his other films, this really is different.
Yeah,
it's more accessible. And it wasn't said in the context of him trying intentionally to get, but just that will be the result of it. The other thing I'm interested in is the term magical realism. I mean, I can put those two words together in my head, but I'd be curious, because I know some of you teach film and film, what it is.
It's more literature. It's way more literary. It usually doesn't work in film as well.
Did you see, like, Magic for Chocolate, or what is it, like,
Water for Chocolate.
That's magical realism.
South American miners use solitude is the first how most Americans were introduced to magical realism. I was
just the idea that it's very plausible, these things that go magical.
It's a winter woven into this reality is a real thing.
Yeah, it's a real thing. So
and it's not surprising
but
it was kind of flirting with that by having her be a ghost, and we were all into that.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's very plausible.
Yeah,
right. Science of sleep. Magical realism.
Yeah,
that's interesting. American magical realism.
Right, it's French. Well, he's French.
He's a shell boundary.
They're very French. They took place in France.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did it?
Yeah.
Did it?
Yeah. Paris.
Yeah. I
sleep. It worked.
But she went to sleep.
So I never saw it. So.
Yeah. No, I didn't want to see it.
I think we did it now.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Okay, what else?